Welcome to the Closing Market Report for March 31st, 2008, USDA Report Day. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Along the way, University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good will join us to offer some context to the barrage of reports released in the last 2 weeks by USDA, including this morning's prospective plantings and grain stocks numbers. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580 Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. Futures like this, the futures in the May wheat pit, that is, at $9.29, down 60 cents for the day. July futures down 59 at $9.37, and July of next year at $9.27, down 48 cents. May corn futures, 567 and a quarter, up 6 3/4. July at 582.8 and a quarter, higher. In September futures at 584 and a half, up 8 and a quarter. December contract at 581, up 4 1/4. December corn futures, 550 and a half, down a half for the day. May soybeans at $11.97 and a quarter, down 70. July at $12.15, down 70. August soybeans at $11.97, down 70. That's the limit lower. And November soybeans at $10.89 and a half, the new crop, down 70 as well. May bean meal at $3.22.30, down 20. And July futures there at $3.24.80, down 20, down the limit. May bean oil at $51.48, down 3.50. July futures at $52.20, down 3.50 for the day. Live cattle futures, 87.42 and a half, down 22 and a half. And the June futures at 87.75, 12 and a half cents lower. April feeder cattle at 99.30, down a dollar 12 and a half. And the May futures there at 101.22 and a half, down a dollar and a nickel. April lean hogs at $57.07 and a half cents today, a dollar and 2.5 cents lower. The May futures at $66.30, down $2.27 and a half. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Outside markets for the day, crude oil futures trading the May contract at $101.65 a barrel, down $3.97. The June futures at $101.25, down $3.66 for the day. CRB index at 386.79 is down 7.75, and the dollar now stands at $71.79. That's 71.79, and it's up 0.19 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,253 is up just about 36 points for the day. Crude oil futures, or rather gold futures now. April contract at $916.20 an ounce, down $14.40. In the May at $918.90, down 15 cents. Just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. We'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with them. A flash flood watch is in effect now for southern parts of Illinois and southwestern Indiana, that from this evening through Tuesday morning. A flood watch is in effect in northern Illinois through late tonight. A flash flood watch is in effect for Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, Moultrie, and Shelby counties through tomorrow evening. Here's the weather forecast from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight in northwestern Illinois and the far west central part of Illinois, mostly cloudy, a few showers this evening. Elsewhere cloudy with some showers and thunderstorms, also diminish from west to the east overnight. Lows will range from 30 in northwestern Illinois to 60 in the southeastern part of Indiana. Now tomorrow, in the central and southern sections of Indiana, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers early, then becoming partly sunny. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny and windy and cooler. Highs tomorrow will range from near 40 in northern Illinois to 64 in the southern part of Indiana.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The United States Department of Agriculture released a prospective plantings report and a quarterly grain stocks report at 7:30 a.m. Central Time this morning. The corn prospective plantings report showed 86 million acres would be put in the ground for corn this spring by farmers, an estimate that is below the trade estimate of 87.4 million and well below the 93.6 million acres planted last year in 2007. Soybean estimate from USDA this morning at 74.8 million acres. Traders expecting the 71.5, and that compares to 63.6 last year. The numbers for the quarterly grain stocks report: corn on hand right now at 6.859 billion bushels. Traders were expecting a number just around 7 billion. Soybeans at 1.428. Traders had expected a 1.352 billion bushel number. On the line with us to help us make some sense of those numbers this afternoon and what the trade did throughout the day today is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, where he's a senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Appreciate it.
Tell me about how the trade saw the numbers this morning and how things played out in Chicago.
Well, basically, looking at the numbers, you interpret the corn number as bullish and the bean number is bearish, of course. The numbers in just about all the categories there in corn and beans, just a little bit more and what the trade was looking for. So that sort of set the stage early this morning. But with beans limit down, wheat limit down, bean products limit down, it's also hard for corn to sort of maintain strong gains with a lot of selling pressure on the opposite side of the equation there. So corn struggled most of the day. If wheat and beans would have been trading, corn would have ended the day quite a bit higher. The theme for tomorrow now, or in this evening's trade, expect May beans to open about 40 to 50 cents lower. These November's probably 10 to 15 cents lower. We will try out the expandable limits. Bean limits for tomorrow will be $1.05. I wouldn't be surprised to see the market maybe try that in the overnight trade when it's all said and done. There was a pool of over 60,000 contracts of May beans for sale, about 30 to 40,000 in the July and about 5,000 in the November. So if the trade wants to continue to liquidate or go short here, it could get kind of sloppy in this evening's trade here, so that warrants be watching. But the bottom line is we've got the acres out, so if you're a fundamentalist watching the supply-demand balance sheet, you've got the top numbers to work with. Now, the second unknown, and it's going to be unknown until we get into next fall, will be what type of yield do you put on the crop here, and that moves to the bottom line just about more than anything. If you take beans, for example, you take today's numbers and plug those in to the equation of almost 75 million planted acres, you could probably have a carryout for next year of about 270 million bushels, sort of keeping demand somewhat the same and yield somewhat the same compared to a year ago. But the point is, if you subtract 3 bushels the acre, keep everything the same, ending stocks could drop down to 50 million bushels real quick. So even though beans are limit down on bearish news this morning, if we would get into a weather situation where the yield would drop 3, 4, 5 bushels an acre, we could be back to new highs in a heartbeat.
You know, last year we saw that farmers took advantage of the marketing, the market prices, and switched a lot of acres. I think probably in the last, in this month and next month. And do you think that will happen? Will there be opportunities now for producers to go ahead and switch acres into corn? And will we see that in June?
Well, that's a good question. And probably the main factor that will producers make that decision whether to go back maybe a little bit more corn will be two things. One would be price. If corn would stay close to $6 basis the new crop futures, that would be a big plus. And if beans would drift on down to $8, $9, that would maybe, especially here in the Central Belt, if one can get the inputs in or booked, probably we could see a switch back to the more corn. The other factor, which is probably the most dominant factor of the concern right now, is the weather forecast or weather in general. As we all know, the forecast is wet, and if that trend would stay in a position here where we continue to see rain, we'll probably go ahead and confirm lower acres on corn and more acres on beans.
Any final word before I let you go for the
day? Well, it's a roller coaster. There's no question about it. We would definitely try to have some type of plan intact. Stick with it because the emotions are going to be high here for the next 3 to 4 months.
Kurt, thanks much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities, where he's their senior grains analyst. You can hear him on the closing market report and the opening market report right here on this radio station each and every Monday.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined in studio now by Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good to take a look at the Prospective Plantings Report, the Quarterly Grain Stocks Report, both of those released Monday morning, March the 31st, and the Quarterly Hogs and Pigs Report released Friday, March the 28th, and on, I think, March the 20th, the Cattle on Feed report. All of those having some interesting numbers. Why don't you go through the Prospective Plantings and the Quarterly Grain Stocks report for me very quickly, if you could, and the numbers.
Okay, looking at corn first, on the grain stocks number, we saw March 1 inventories at just a bit under 6.9 billion bushels. That's a full 200 million bushels less than what the market anticipated. Planted acres of 86 million, that's probably 1.3 million acres less than the average trade guess. So on the surface, I think those would be interpreted as pretty friendly reports for corn. It says we've got a very tight old crop supply, a very sharp drop in acreage from what we planted last year. You can see exactly the reverse on soybeans. March 1 inventories coming in above the trade expectation, probably by 76 million bushels or so, well over 1.4 billion bushels. So old crop stocks are a little more abundant than we thought they might be. And the same on the acreage, pushing 74.8 million planting intentions. That compares to what the market expected, 71.5. So 3.2 million acres more soybeans. I think, again, at the surface, those would appear to be fairly negative numbers, even though we had pretty sharp price declines in the 2 weeks leading up to these reports. The fact that they differed from expectations by so much, I think, is still a bit negative.
Can you tell me, in the quarterly grain stocks report, did the larger bean number surprise you at all?
It does. What I look at and what I think most people look at is, We pretty much know during the first half of the year now how many beans we crushed and how many we exported. The only thing you don't know is that seed and residual category. And what it shows for the first half of the year is feed, seed, and residual use of soybeans, only 45 million bushels. If you look at the last 5 years, the smallest number we've seen in the previous 5 years is about 145 million bushels. So on the surface, it says that perhaps the 2007 crop was a little bit larger than has been estimated, because we would expect seed, feed, and residual use to be in that 150 million bushel range. It was 45. So you end up with surprisingly small stocks. And then when you start working backwards, say, why is that? We must have really had a bigger crop than estimated. Which then, if we did, you'd do the recalculation and say, okay, feed, seed, and residual is now at a more normal number if the crop was really 100 million bushels larger than we had estimated. So, yeah, I think it's a real surprise. And on corn, you almost get the opposite feeling. It says that feeds and residual use of corn during the first half of the year was more than 12% larger than last year. Even with more livestock numbers, that really doesn't make sense because we're feeding a lot more distillers grain. Maybe last year's number was too small. So on the surface, it says either the 06 crop was underestimated or the 07 crop has been overestimated on corn. Net result is, come March 1, we don't have as much corn on hand as we thought we did, regardless of the reason. And I think in and of itself, that's a pretty friendly number.
Less corn on hand. And then if you start to take a look at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade, and I think it's only taken, you know, a month or 6 weeks to do this, on the corn-soybean ratio, we went from 2.5 to 1 to about 2 to 1. And after this morning, after the March 31 report, that might number might come down and certainly would favor corn acres. I can't imagine that if the weather breaks, farmers won't keep the corn planters rolling.
Well, one would really think so, Todd. Again, you just do some budgeting, look at kind of trend yields, expected cost differences between producing corn and soybeans, and the current new crop bids for those two crops, and you say, if you had to do everything today, which looks to be more profitable, and the numbers are staggering. For much of Illinois, we're looking at potential net profitability of corn over soybeans exceeding $200 an acre at this point. And in areas where corn yields are relatively better than soybean yields, that number is pushing $250 an acre net profit in favor of corn. It's just unimaginable that producers won't try to respond to that kind of economic signal.
And would that carry over, do you think, in other parts of the Midwest? I know you haven't done the numbers, but should it?
I think so. I mean, for the most part, cost differences are not going to vary too much, whether you're Indiana, Nebraska, Illinois, Iowa. You have to have the same basic inputs whether you're growing wherever you're growing those crops. Illinois encompasses a pretty wide range of corn versus soybean yields. So if you do this by region in Illinois, all the way from southern Illinois, where soybean yields tend to be a little higher relative to corn, corn still pencils out to be hugely more profitable than soybeans, all the way up to central Illinois, northern Illinois, where yield ratios tend to favor corn, it's even much more profitable there. So I think that is kind of in a snapshot, would encompass much of the conditions we'd see throughout the Midwest. So a large geographic area is getting this kind of signal right now.
Getting a signal, and that is, I suppose, predicated in part on some really big livestock numbers that continue to come out from USDA, both from the Cattle on Feed report and the Hogs and Pigs report in the month of March.
No question. As you mentioned, on March 20th, we got the Cattle on Feed. That survey now covers only feedlots with 1,000 head of capacity or more. That's been around for a number of years now. We had the second largest inventory ever since that report has been started. Friday's Hogs and Pigs report showed the winter pig crop 7% larger than last year's crop, 5% more sows farrowing during that quarter. The market had anticipated maybe a 4 to 4.5% larger pig crop. 7% is huge. Spring farrowings are expected to be as large as last year. It's really into the summer quarter before producers indicated that they were going to have any kind of cutback on the number of sows farrowing. So I think for the next, 9 to 12 months, it suggests there's a lot of hogs out there demanding feed.
So livestock demand is good, ethanol demand remains good, and those plants are actually making a profit, even at $5 corn. And exports are staying strong as well.
No question about it. We're seeing export demand numbers remain right in there on the sales reports. These higher corn prices will trim the returns for everybody to some extent, but ethanol producers are still solidly in the black if you use the spot market as an indication there, and animal numbers are pretty much in place. So will we eventually see some cutback in livestock production? I'm pretty sure we will, but that's going to take some time to unfold.
Well, the good news appears that livestock producers think they can manage to make money at $5 corn, which surprises me to some extent, but apparently they're capable of being profitable at these levels.
Yeah, it is a bit of a head scratcher. I mean, record high corn prices and moving higher during the winter quarter, and hog prices pretty much mired at low levels. I think it says something about the structure of the hog industry, the integration that's taken place there, the marketing contracts. Those are probably all delaying the response to this tightening of the margins in hog production.
So what is it that the producer in the Midwest should do now about marketing? And let's just take it. Well, you can lay out the terms you'd like, but I'm going to assume that they've got crop insurance either at 75 or 80% on corn, and they've covered their beans probably with RA. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's never easy or obvious, but with December corn prices well above the spring guarantee on many of the revenue insurance products, by now 60 cents or more above those guarantees, I think it's a pretty strong signal for those that have not really marketed much of the 08 crop at this point. This is a time to get a little more aggressive to do that. Certainly, anyone that can acquire the inputs, seed and fertilizer, I think moving a little more acres to corn certainly looks reasonable. Soybeans, a little more difficult because current market prices obviously have dropped sharply, but we still have a pretty high revenue guarantee at well over $13 on the November futures as an insurance guarantee. Will producers look at that and say, I'm just going to go ahead and plant the soybeans because I'm not really responding to current market prices. I'm responding to my insurance price. In my mind, $2 on the insurance on 40 bushel beans, 50 bushel beans, that's $100. You're giving up $200 to $250 not to grow corn.
Skip the insurance.
Skip the insurance.
don't report it and put corn in the ground.
Right, right. But the wild card, as always, is going to be spring weather. I mean, the market is obviously begging for more corn to be planted right now. And the question is, will weather allow that to happen? A little bit of concern in the southern growing areas that it's wet and it's a little late. But for the heart of the Corn Belt, it's still, we got a month or 6 weeks to get the crop planted. So I think there's still opportunity to respond.
So let's make it a little bit easier on the extra acres that you decide to put into corn. And I think there will be a number of producers across the Midwest that are going to do that. When do they mark? Do they market that the day they put it in the ground, the day that they make that decision? Do they wait for $6 cash bids? What do they do?
Well, I'm not sure that, again, that there's an obvious answer to that, except at $6, you got to be more aggressive than you were at $5. And with so much of the growing season still in front of us, all of the price risk is not on the downside at this point. So I'm not sure that I would want to do 100% at this point, even of the increased acreage. This thing has some legs to it, and as long as we stay kind of cool and wet, I think it's got some momentum.
Darryl, it's always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Todd.
Darryl Good, Extension Ag Economist from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's Tater Day. The celebration started in 1842 or 1843 as a time when town folk in Benton, Kentucky would get together and trade sweet potatoes. Farmers from the countryside would bring their taters to town to sell or trade. Nowadays in Benton, the celebration is a three-day event, complete with parade, carnival, baking, canning, and fiddling competitions, and gospel singing. It's also Oranges and Lemons Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1814, John Limebach patented the cotton seed hulling machine. In 1918, daylight savings time went into effect in the U.S. for the first time. The idea was sponsored by the Daylight Savings Association. New York Senator William M. Calder introduced the bill to Congress on 17 April 1917. It was initially defeated, but subsequently passed by a roll call on 27 June 1917. The concept had originally been introduced in Great Britain as a fuel-saving measure during wartime. In 1945, Lewis Ralph Jones died on this date. Jones was an agricultural botanist and one of the nation's most distinguished plant pathologists. Jones studied enhanced control of potato diseases and increased yield. And in 1989, chefs from Japanese restaurants in New York, after a long debate, persuaded the FDA to allow them to import and serve Japanese blowfish. The chefs had to attend special classes to protect their customers from poisoning. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Josh Darr from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Josh.
Hey, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Tell me about weather in the Midwest. I'm particularly concerned about where things are wettest, where they're maybe a little drier than they are in other parts of the Midwest. Any place that you might see some movement of machinery? I heard about in the Illinois River bottom in the western part of Illinois, a little anhydrous last week, but I suspect that's probably stopped by now.
I would think so. I mean, if you look back at the past 2 weeks, Todd, the corridor of your maximum precip has been from south central Missouri through southern Illinois all the way up into central Ohio. And that area has received just plentiful precipitation. We're talking totals over the past 2 weeks on the order of anywhere from 7 to 11 inches of rain. And that's been a corridor that's been wet so far this month, and for the next 10 days, that looks like it is, again, the corridor that gets more rainfall, which is not the best of news for getting field work and early planting done north of, say, the Tennessee-Missouri-Arkansas border region.
Does that corridor pick up parts of Iowa and the northern part of Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Nebraska, too, or are they likely to be able to move?
Well, that maximum area of precip is the southern portion, southern half of Illinois, southern half of Indiana. When you go farther, northern Illinois, Iowa, those areas you mentioned, it'll be less heavy precipitation, although the precip chances will be pretty steady here, every 3 to 4 days between now and, say, the 10th to 12th of April.
And if you look a little further out, do you see some semblance of sunshine and a little drier weather?
Looking at macro-scale patterns for, say, the middle to back half of April, there should be a window of opportunity that opens up where the precip, this heavy precip belt, shifts north, say, to the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, rather than the Ohio River Valley west through Missouri. So if that all comes to plan, there should be a window here later in the month where conditions do improve. But, of course, we need several days in the 70s with windy conditions to start drying out the fields in a big way.
And tell me about the Chinese crops at this point. They'll be looking to put corn and soybeans into the ground, too.
Yeah, moisture levels are great down south. And looking up in the northern areas, there's been some precip here as of late. And actually, conditions are forecast to improve here in the far northeast provinces, Heilongjiang, Jilin, Linang, over the next 10 to 15 days. So it looks like things are good and improving further in China with no significant moisture concerns like we see in the Midwest.
How's harvest progressing in South America?
Argentina's in terrific shape, actually. The pattern over the next 2 weeks is below normal, so below normal rainfall and warmer than normal temps, which is ideal for the harvest in Argentina. North and Brazil, not a rapid harvest progress, but nothing that's going to really bog down and cause any significant concerns. They're rather seasonal, not as good as last year, but we're still looking at a decent pace versus long-term averages.
And a quick wrap-up of the northern wheat-growing areas, Argentina, Ukraine, and India, please.
India is actually on tap for rainfall over the next week, which is unusual for this time of year and may impact some late-heading wheat as well as potentially harvest operations in India, and that's the main headline, northern hemisphere.
All right. Thanks much, Josh.
Thank you.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a good afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.